Well, we're in Genesis. Genesis chapter 1, 1, third syllable. No, Genesis chapter 2, verse 16. Talk about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but really just talking about the first commandment that God has. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 16. The Bible says in Genesis 2:16, the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Let's pray and talk about this first commandment, and we'll talk about the tree, but let's pray. Father, I thank you for these words. I pray that you'd help us get what we need out of these verses. We're just trying to go through your words in a systematic way here, going through books of the Bible. And I pray that you'd guide our study tonight. Got some maybe a simple practical lesson and some information that I don't know exactly, maybe just help us learn our Bibles a little bit more, but I pray that you defeat us with your words tonight. I thank you for each soul that's here. I pray you bless each soul that's here, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So this is the only commandment, this first commandment, the only commandment God has with Adam, and simply everything's yours, freely eat of it, except this one tree. Just don't eat that tree. Now, a couple of thoughts that I know I used to think this, just reading it, I think it's just human nature that we think these things. That God, well, here's the question. Why has God put this tree in this garden and then tell him not to eat it? Why not just not put the tree there? Why not just not have a tree? Why create this problem for humanity? And I think that's our human nature. We think every instruction we get is a big problem, and it's just a big hassle that God would say, don't do this, and all that. And so we treat God's instructions and God's commandments like they're, you know, why would you put us, it's God's fault that he would put us in a position like this and all that kind of stuff. But here's a couple of thoughts that don't line up with that. Number one, I don't think God puts the tree there as a test to see what Adam's going to do. I think it's just like a parent telling their child, don't eat that because it's poisonous. And there's a lot of things God created, and he didn't necessarily create them for people to eat them. So, I mean, maybe it was good for the animals to eat. Maybe it was good for making rope out of. I don't know. Maybe it was good for all these other things. Just don't eat it. So we read that commandment, and we think, well, God, he's just so terrible. He would just tempt Adam and put him in such a difficult position. I think that's our human nature and our view of authority to think things like that. But when I read this, it makes more sense that the tree may be good for a lot of other things. Just don't eat it. And so I don't think it's a test for Adam. I remember when I was a kid, and my brother, we were small, and my parents told us, there's these mushrooms in the backyard, they're poisonous, don't eat them. And they didn't say that to see what we would do. They said that because they didn't want us to get poisoned. You understand? So when God tells Adam and Eve, or tells Adam, don't eat the tree, it's not to see what he's going to do, it's so he doesn't get poisoned. And so, you know, my parents said, don't eat those mushrooms because they're poisonous. And you can guess what we did. So I gave one to my brother to see if they were really poisonous. So he kind of took a little bite out of it, and it seemed okay. And so I kind of licked it, and that's all right. Then my parents found out, and they found out that I was kind of the instigator of rebellion here. And so they took us both to the hospital, and the hospital gave us Epicat and made us throw up. And I tried to convince them. I said, you know, but I didn't really eat it. I just stuck it on my tongue. They said, oh no, you're going to throw up too. You did this. So, you know, back to the point though, when my mom and dad said, don't eat these things, it wasn't because they're just trying to see if we would eat it. They're just trying to keep us from getting poisoned. And when the Lord tells Adam, don't eat the tree, I think he's just trying to keep him from getting poisoned. I don't think he's trying to test him and see what he's going to do, and let's put this temptation out there, and let's see if Adam's going to fail here. No, it's not about that. It's just, I don't want my people, the people that I've created, to poison themselves and kill themselves. And so, like I said, you say, well, why does God put a tree there? Well, not, like I said, again, not everything was meant to be eaten by human beings. We just see that one commandment and say, well, God must be this, you know, he's this tyrannical. He's going to see if we're going to do bad and all that kind of stuff. And you don't know what else it was good for. And you know, maybe the animals loved the tree, and maybe it had a whole lot of other uses and all that kind of stuff. And the one thing God just didn't want Adam to do is eat it. Just don't eat it. So here's the first point of this. God's commandments are good commandments. They're not tests to see what you're going to do. God doesn't speak to hear himself speak and to see if humanity is going to mess up. When God tells people to do things, it's for their own good. It's for our own good. And so when the Lord tells Adam, just look, everything is freely yours to eat. All of the trees in the garden, that you can eat all of them. Just don't eat this one. It's not to be mean. It's not for, you know, here's a little trial for you, Adam. It's just, Adam, I don't want you to get poisoned by this thing, because when you eat it, you're gonna die. And so the point is, God's commandments are good commandments. But our human nature and our rebellious nature, we read these things and we think, well, it's all God's fault. If he would have never put the tree there, then we would never have this problem. But you don't know why God put the tree there. You don't know if it had other uses. You don't know anything about it other than just don't eat it. So, I think sometimes we read into this stuff our own rebellious nature, and we just put it on God. Or why does he do these things? And so the other thing, so the first point is simple. God's commandments are good commandments. They're just good commandments. He's not trying to hurt people with them. In fact, he's trying to protect you. And he's just trying to protect Adam. Just don't eat the tree, Adam. Everything else, look, you got everything else to eat. There's plenty to eat. Everything's good for food. But this one, if you eat it, it's not good for food. It's not going to be good for you. So there's God's good commandment. Another thing that comes to mind when I read this, Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. From the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Another thing that comes to mind is Adam and Eve know, or maybe it's just Adam here at this time, Adam and Eve know, or just Adam knows, he knows what good is. He just doesn't know what evil is yet. And when I picture Adam and Eve taking a bite out of this tree or start to consume what the fruit is there, it's almost like you take a bit. Have you ever bit into something and you thought it was going to taste a certain way, And then it starts to, your taste buds start to feel it, and you realize, oh man, that's not what I thought it was at all. I get that idea with this tree, with this fruit, that they knew good, but they didn't have any acquaintance with evil, and there really is no benefit to having any acquaintance with evil anyway. So they already had, and they were already equipped to do the right thing, and there was no benefit to this added knowledge. There's no benefit to knowing evil. In fact, I'll read this one to you. Romans chapter 16, I'll give you a verse along these lines that says this. So in Romans 16 and verse 19, he says this, "For your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I'm glad therefore on your behalf, but yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil." It's like you don't need to know evil. There's no benefit to this. And so they already know what good is. They just don't know what evil is. And of course, the devil's going to say, "Well, you know, if you learn these things, it's gonna make you superior. I mean, you're gonna really know some things God doesn't want you to know. And the only reason God doesn't want you to know these things is because he wants to keep you out of the loop on some of this stuff." And so we'll see that in Genesis chapter 3. But the reality is, knowing evil, there's no benefit to it. So here's God's good commandment: don't eat the tree. You'll get poisoned if you eat it. And of course, that commandment, like I said, it's not a trial, it's not a test, it's just, I don't want you to get poisoned. And then the knowledge of good and evil, how does that happen? Well, they take a bite, and I imagine again, like they realize, man, something's off here. And the reason I say it comes through the taste buds or like that, I'm going to show you some verses this evening. And I really don't know what to do with some of these things, but I found it interesting. When good and evil, or the knowledge of good and evil, shows up in the Bible, it almost always shows up with eating something. Almost every time. And I'll show you some of these verses. So here's these two trees. You got the tree of life, tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And let's just think about what this tree could be, because that's a question. What is this tree? Is it an apple tree? Is it a grape? What is it? I don't think it's any of those things. I don't think it's. I mean, if it was a grape vine, he would just say it's a grape vine. If it was an apple tree, just say it's an apple tree. But he just said it's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So it just is described by what it does, not by what it is, just what it produces in people. It produces a knowledge of good and evil, just like the tree of life just produces life in people. You see that in Revelation 2, and talks about this tree of life by the river of life, and every month it bears 12 manner of fruits. You know, for 12 months it bears these 12 manner of fruits, and he says the leaves are for the healing of the nations. And so this tree of life, it's not like you just eat it once or you take a bite and all of a sudden you have eternal life. It's something that, it's like a healing process. If something got in the body, it would you could use it for healing and eat it, or you could use the leaves and those would heal. And so it's described for what it does, the tree of life, just like the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is just described for what it does and what it produces in people. It produces a knowledge of good and evil. So, and it does it physically through taste. They would taste this thing, they would eat this thing, and suddenly they would be acquainted with evil, which is kind of interesting. I'll show you some of these verses here. But a couple of things about this tree. You probably heard the world. Well, the world believes, first of all, Genesis is mythology, but in the mythology, the world believes this is an apple tree. So you've got you know, Eve eating the apple, Adam eating the apple, and sin entering the world. It's not an apple tree, but I do think it's interesting that the world Even though they believe this is folklore and mythology, they believe this tree is an apple tree, or would be, you know, in the story. And I just read it today. So the largest business organization in the world is called Apple, and has a little bite taken out of it. And its product is knowledge. That's what its product is knowledge and information. Like Apple doesn't grow corn or anything. They don't produce things you can eat. Their product is information. So I thought that's kind of interesting how that all works out. But it's not an apple tree. I don't know what type of fruit it produced, other than it's just the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now I'm going to show you some verses. And I really, this is all I got tonight. So you got God's good commandment. You've got these trees, what they are, what they may not be. But I want to show you some verses that in the Bible, almost every time this knowledge of good and evil shows up, it has to do with someone eating something. It's so weird. But I'll show you these verses. Look in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14. Hebrews 5 and verse 14. So Hebrews 5, 14, it says this: but strong meat, as opposed to milk in the verse before, strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. That's kind of interesting. So the contrast is milk and meat, and the meat is for someone who's not eating baby food. They have their senses exercised, which is their taste buds. They have their senses exercised so they can discern in what they're eating whether it's good or evil. I thought that's kind of interesting. It doesn't say that they have their spirit exercised or anything. They just got their senses. That's taste buds. That's what that has to do. Or it has to do with them having teeth and they can chew up the meat and all that stuff. But it all has to do with eating something. So here it is. They have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. That's kind of interesting how that works. Here's another one. Look in 2 Samuel chapter 19. And like I said, I don't have the answers to why this is said this way. I don't know. Maybe you can go home and think about it and study it out, and you got a really good solution that I'd love to hear that answers this. But the way it's described in the Bible, this knowledge of good and evil—it's like I said—it's almost like eating something and you expect it to be one thing, and then it turns out not to be that thing at all. Here's another one: 2 Samuel 19, verse 35. Here's a Barzillai; he's a good man, and he's older. He says this: I am this day 80 years old, and can I discern between good and evil? Can thy servant taste what I eat or what I drink? Can I hear any more the voice of singing men and singing women? Wherefore then should thy servant be yet a burden unto my lord the king? So Barzillai says, look, I'm old. I can't see, I can't hear, I can't even taste my food anymore. And he likens that to, I can't discern good and evil anymore. I don't have the senses. My senses don't work anymore. And I can't discern what is good and what is evil. And he associates that with seeing and hearing and tasting what he's eating. I thought that's pretty interesting, because that's another time this discerning good and evil shows up. Hebrews 5, 2 Samuel. Here's another one. Jeremiah chapter 24. Jeremiah chapter 24, verse 3. And like I said, maybe you guys can figure this out and have a good solution to this. But it's interesting that this knowledge of good and evil has to do with the senses of a human being. That it comes through the senses. Jeremiah chapter 24, verse 3. Now here's a pretty peculiar description of some food. Some figs. Jeremiah 24:3 says, "Then said the Lord unto me, What seest thou, Jeremiah? And I said, Figs. The good figs, very good. And the evil, very evil. That cannot be eaten, they are so evil." Now what does that make you think? That just makes you think of rotten food. Like these things are probably, they got fur growing on them, and they're moldy, and they just look horrible. And Jeremiah says, I see some figs, and there's some that are good. They're good. And there's others that are evil. And he just describes this food as being good and evil. Good and evil. Again, this idea that the knowledge of good and evil comes in through these senses. Kind of interesting. I'll give you one more. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 39. Deuteronomy 1:39. Now this made a lot more sense when I read it in this context about the knowledge of good and evil and baby food and all that kind of stuff and having senses exercised one way and all that. So Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 39. It says, "Moreover, your little ones, which ye said should be a prey, and your children, which in that day had no knowledge between good and evil, they shall go in thither, and unto them will I give it, and they shall possess it." Now, I used to read a verse like that and wonder, how in the world do you know if a person has any knowledge of good and evil? I mean, what is there a certain age that they're supposed to have this knowledge? And you know what he's simply saying? There comes a point in time where children get off baby food. They start eating meat. They start eating hard food. They start eating regular food. And verse 39 just simply is talking about somebody who's still eating baby food. These are the kids you said would be a prey. They can't defend themselves. They don't have any way of helping themselves. These are the children that are still on baby food. And the Lord said, those kids are going into promised land, and you're not going. Because you've disobeyed you discouraged the people. You told them the land is too much, the giants are too much, and all that kind of stuff. And so the Lord said, so you're not going in the land, but those kids of yours that are still on baby food, they haven't done anything wrong, so they're going into promised land. And he qualifies that as these children, they have no knowledge of good and evil. Just like Hebrews chapter 5 said, you can discern between good and evil. The strong meat belongeth to him that's exercised and in his senses. Well, these children aren't yet. So the interesting, I don't know, interesting thought on all this is when you run these references, all through the Bible, this knowledge of good and evil seems to show up with the senses. And so when the devil approaches Eve with eating this tree, he appeals to all of her senses. Hey, look, it's good for food. It make you smart. You know, here's this little this thing. It's gonna give you some wisdom that you don't have. And the Lord specifically, his specific command is, don't eat the tree. Just don't eat the tree. Don't eat the fruit of that tree. You may be able to do 100 other things with this tree. I just don't want you eating it. And so this is God's first commandment. It's the only commandment he has. It's the only thing he tells him don't do. And I don't know what kind of tree this is. Like I said, I imagine if it was an apple tree, he would have said the apple tree. If it was a grapevine, he would have just said a grapevine. But he didn't say any of that. He said it's a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And once you eat this thing, you're going to have knowledge of evil that you didn't have before, and it's going to poison you. And there's no turning back from that. Once you're poisoned by this thing, you're not going to be able to undo this. So just to recap, simple thoughts tonight. God's commandment it's not a trial, it's not a test. Just like my parents didn't say, don't eat the mushrooms just to see if we would eat the mushrooms. They said, don't eat the mushrooms because they didn't want us to get poisoned. So God tells Adam, maybe Eve too, maybe she's there, probably not. But he tells Adam, don't eat the tree, it'll poison you. And interestingly enough, almost every occurrence where you have the knowledge of good and evil, it's almost always associated with the senses, almost every single time in the Bible. And so there's some thoughts on all that. I hope that's helpful. I really don't know what else to say about it, but maybe you guys can use that, take those cross references and run with them. But that is God's first commandment, only commandment. And of course, we'll read that and we'll say, you know, it's God's fault for tempting Adam and Eve. And it's not God's fault for tempting Adam and Eve. He just doesn't want them to die. He just doesn't want them to get poisoned. And so I don't know if the devil had messed with the tree. I have no idea what the deal is with this tree. Maybe it's just a tree. Obviously it's not good for people to eat it. Maybe it's good for animals to eat it. Maybe it's good for other things, but just don't eat it. Like I said, not everything that God made is meant for human consumption necessarily. So anyhow, I hope that's helpful. Just a couple thoughts on this tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and we'll deal with them actually eating of it in the next chapter with when the devil shows up. But that's God's first commandment. And I think, again, when we read this, sometimes we just read our own sort of rebellious spirit into it and make it God's fault that he would even dare command such a thing and even dare put a tree there that would tempt Adam and Eve like this. It's not God's fault. It's not God's fault. He didn't do that. So let's pray.